Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Now, our next guest is a hurler with one of the most unique stories I've heard. He's moved from war-torn Iraq to Leitrim and picked up a Laurie Maher medal in between. Zach Moratti, welcome to Game On.
Hi, how are you getting on? Thanks for having me.
No worries. Thanks a million for coming on. Look, your story, it really captured the attention of so many people. Like, when it comes to Leitrim sports stars, you were right up there. Just tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up hurling.
Well, obviously everyone knows that I was born in a refugee camp in Iraq, and then obviously my family spent 22 years in Iraq in a refugee camp, and then I moved here when I was 11, and then it kind of all started off in when I started primary school, probably about 2-3 weeks into primary school when I started. It was kind of the Gaelic, started off with the Gaelic, obviously that was a little bit easier, and then, you know, a week or two after that was the hurling and coming into it, and then I kind of just found hurling more attractive, and then it all kicked in from there on.
Zach, sorry, no, there's so much to the story, but could you bring us back a little bit just to the refugee camps in Iraq? I've been there, I've been on UNICEF field trips, and I've seen these types of camps, but maybe you might explain to people the surroundings and the areas to play for children.
Yeah, well, obviously, see, when I was born, obviously, in Ramadi, in the refugee camp, it was called Altash Camp. There was, when my parents moved into it first, obviously, when they left there, my parents are Kurdish Iranians, so they would have left in the 1980 war. So that war went on for 8 years. And so they ended up in there because Iraq invaded Iran. They took a good bit of the parts of Iran, but we're actually from the borders. So we're in close to the mountains. So we're only 15 minutes drive into Iraq. And then 50,000 Kurds left Iran and then ended up in Iraq. Obviously, when all these war was going on, there was bombings, there was, you know, all these F-16, whatever, you name it, all this, you know. So they were just told to move on by the Iraqi army, and then, so all of a sudden, 50,000 Kurds ended up in Iraq, and then they thought they were only going to be there for a couple of months, but the UN were like, oh, the war is going to stop, everybody's going to go back where they're going to be, where they're from, and yeah. But then, obviously, that war went on for 8 years, and then obviously they were stuck in no man's land, my parents, for 22 years. But then, luckily, I had aunties and that they would have left in the 1989 or in the 90s. They moved to Sweden, and there was the same. With all the 50,000 people there, there was a lot of them would have probably snuck back into the country, into Iran. But there would have been a lot of landmines and all that, so they would have taken a lot of dangerous routes. My uncles done that. And then, but now, thankfully, all the people, just, you know, about 8-9 months before the war started, before the American invasion, the NATO invasion in 2003, luckily we got out in time, 4th of July in 2002. But luckily, everybody that was in that refugee camp, they were all relocated all around Europe and New Zealand, Australia, so it was good. And I still have a big connection with all them people that I grew up with.
So, Zach, why Ireland, and how did you get here?
Well, obviously, my brother was working in the UN, so he got a job in the UN there. So, luckily, because he spoke fluent English and Arabic, Farsi, so he spoke four languages, so that was enough to get you a job, you know. So, he got a job in there, and his job kind of was helping out to relocate people all around the world. And then, obviously, because we came here as a program refugee, and then we were on a list for about, we were waiting for about 15 months. Obviously, you have to do loads of interviews, there's a lot of paperwork, and it's just, you know, some people think, you know, if you're just a refugee, you're stuck in a refugee camp, they think it's just like, they just lift you out of the country, you bring you over to Ireland, you know, it all takes a day or two. It takes a couple of years for all this, you know.
Exactly.
But obviously, you know, like, obviously, luckily, you know, we're lucky we had a kind of a bit of an option because me bro was working in the UN, and he said there was, not many people really had options. Sometimes it's who you know as well, you know, in Ireland, kind of, it's not what you know, it's who you know. But luckily, me parents, just, you know, Ireland was kind of, you know, they never kind of really probably would have heard it that much, you know. So I would have never heard Ireland because when I went to school, it was all propaganda, it was a dictatorship country, you know, so I wouldn't have heard much outside the world. Any other country. The only country I knew was America and England because of wars. But luckily, we we accepted Ireland, and then we all, you know, my parents just wanted to go somewhere quiet and just somewhere peaceful because they went through so much. Because obviously they had good times in Iran where they lived, where they grew up as farmers. So, but they went through 22 years of toughness, and then obviously the life turned around again when they came over to Ireland, and then we just started a new life here.
Zach, you're probably very young at that time, but can you tell us about what did you do to play in these refugees camps? How did children express their frustrations in camps?
It's because because I was born there, I didn't know any difference if you were refugees or not. But as you're getting a little bit older, you're kind of noticing the difference, because when we left our refugee camps, you know, about 10 minutes down the road, there was all these big massive villas and, you know, palaces everywhere. These all rich Arabs lived around us. And I kind of knew it wasn't, because obviously when you were young over there, because it was a dictatorship country, it was a propaganda. Every time you turned on the telly, it was all about Saddam Hussein. And there would have been pictures of him everywhere. So even when we used to go to school, my parents used to say, never ever say anything about Saddam Hussein. He's a great leader and all that. Because if I went to school and said something bad about Saddam or something, my whole family could get locked up over it. So it was, but for sports and that, it was all, we used to just, you know, play hide and seek, or we'll have a race, and there could be about 50, 60 kids on the road. We'll probably have one football between us, and we just play soccer.
You have a huge family as well, Zach.
Say that again?
You have a huge family.
Oh, yeah, I have a massive family, but for sure, that's as they say, that generation is gone, obviously, you know. It was, like, I'm surprised, you know, to be honest, like, all of me, I was born at home. Everyone of our family were born at home, so there wouldn't have been hospitals or anything like that, but I'm just delighted we're all healthy, you know. Like, you know, me ma just say her friends gave a hand when the next child was born, but now it's all changed. You know, in Ireland, you have to go to college, you know, for a couple of years to be a midwife or whatever you call it.
So 11 siblings?
11 siblings, yeah.
No wonder you took up hurling, Zach. You'd need a hurley to get to the dinner table.
Oh, stop, yeah. Sometimes good families are fun, but then, you know yourself, obviously, because my parents, they always thought they were going to end up back in Iran, because they had a big, my grandparents had a big farm, and they never relied on, you know, there's none of this stuff, mortgages or anything like that. Everything they had in Iran was all paid for, you know, and they built a house on the farm, and so they didn't rely on other people, and that's why they had kids, and then when the kids grew up, they built a house on the farm, so life just kind of moved on, and that, I think that was their aim, you know. But then, obviously, in Ireland, it's different. Even my brothers have kids, probably one or two is the max, you know, so you won't go over that. My man said our types are not made anymore, these are not able for it.
I don't know how anyone does it with, like, 12 children or even four, don't I get. Zach, I want to talk about hurling, because I've mentioned a couple of times, like, I'm from a hurling background, and the longest apprenticeship that you'll ever spend really is hurling, because it's a game with so many facets to it, and it's so rare to hear of anyone picking it up at 11 or 12. I remember Tony Carmody was a clear hurler and he didn't hurl till he was about that age, and it was like a big deal. So for you to kind of master the game and go on and play it into county level, that's really impressive.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I never thought of, you know, I was ever going to get stuck into it, because there's just so much skill in hurling. It's not like Gaelic. I started off Gaelic within a couple of weeks. I was able to solo left and right and kick and catch. I can do all the basic stuff, but hurling is just a different. There's just so much skill involved. You know the way if you're trying to, you know, throw a ball up and try to hit it, and then you miss it, you'll get real annoyed, and you'll go again. And that was the thing, probably. It was a challenge for me, and I kind of the hurling is just it's if you're going for a walk, you can bring your hurl with you and the ball.
It's
you couldn't really do it with, you know, soccer or, you know, the hurling. You can, you know, it's I kind of just fell in love with the game. You know, it was just it was a challenge for me as well to get used to hurling, because it used to annoy me. It took a couple of months, you know, trying to hit the ball, and there's lads that were miles ahead of me, and I just always had to play catch up. And probably the worst thing as well was I couldn't speak a word of English when I started, you know. So, and I was like, you know, you're trying to, you know, there's a big language barrier. You're trying to learn English, and then you're trying to learn playing hurling, Gaelic, and, you know, there's all loads of different things, you know. But thankfully, I kept at it, and then, you know, and then obviously, I always had that kept that connection in Leitrim. Obviously, when the older brothers, you know, when a lot of them started moving to Dublin, and then to going to college and work and that, and then. And the family we just all moved because my parents wanted to keep the whole family together, stay in one county, kind of one area. But I was just start playing hurling with Thomas Davis and Tala, and I just stuck at it. And then I was kind of always every second week, you know, when I didn't have a match in Dublin, I was going down to Leitrim visiting my friends, and I just kept that hurling connection.
The win in the Laurie Maher was massive for the county. I was actually in Carrick and Shannon the day that you won. I was covering a football match and the place went mad, and I was editing for the Sunday game, and I ended up getting locked into the stadium and someone had to come up from the pub to let me out because the celebrations were so big. It just meant so much to everyone, Zach.
Yeah, it did, because I tell you what, because in Leitrim, obviously in Dublin and Kilkenny and Cork and all them, they're used to winning. They're winning all the time, you know, and they're greedy as well, you know. In Leitrim, you don't win much, you know, and we only had one chance, and that's it. Like, hurling's going around, probably hurling's been played in Leitrim for the last 100 years, but we never won a cup. So we never won a hat, and so it was the first cup ever to land in the county in hurling, so which was amazing. And it was just like, because there's lads in that team, or in that team for about 17 years, and they just kept at it year in, year out. I remember when I started playing, there was one year we went there, we were getting bet by 20 points average every game, but we just kept at it, same lads, we kept at it, and we eventually got a reward out of it. And it was just, and we had an amazing celebration in Carrick and Shannon for about, I'd just say, 2 weeks.
Zach, they're the special days, aren't they, those moments? But just in terms of being included and being involved, just for your whole family, what did hurling and sport do for you, for integrating you with the community?
Yeah, it was... hurling obviously played a big part even for me to get jobs over the years and make... Like, I made friends quicker playing hurling and football, you know. Obviously, GAA is like a family, because when you start off with your 10 or 8, you end up playing with the same lads the whole way up, and you don't realise it. And, you know, like, I'm 29 now, and I started in Thomas Davis when I was 14 and a half, and now I'm just still playing with the same lads, and I'll drink with the same lads, and after a match, you know, where we lose or we win. But it just, and then you look back, you're like, Jesus Christ, we grew up, and you're looking back at photos, pictures you have, it's the same lads you're playing with, and it's amazing. It's just, the GAA obviously plays a big, it plays a big part in this country, you know. If I had my way, it'd be called the GAA country instead of Ireland.
Yeah, look, I think we'd all agree with that, and especially at the moment, the incredible work they're doing away from even sport. Zach, can you tell us a little about your documentary, Becoming Irish, which is available on the RTE player?
Yes, look, if anyone wants to watch it, it'd be on the RTE player, and then, so, obviously, there's three of us doing a little documentary, so if anyone interested, go on to the RTE player and watch it, and obviously, it'll be on RTE soon enough as well, probably around May.
Zach, you've lived through times most of us will never experience anything that you have gone through, but we are in the middle of a crisis at the moment because of the coronavirus. Just for you, having come through so much, how does it feel at this time when we're in such strange times?
Yeah, it's tough, obviously. What's happening now, it's the whole world, because I was only actually talking to my uncles in Iran yesterday, and it's probably 100 times worse over there, you know. There's thousands that died over this virus, and now it'd be great if people can stay in. I think the more the people stay in, the better.
Zach, thanks so much for joining us on Game On. Becoming Irish is available on the RTE player, a brilliant documentary and well worth a watch.
Thanks, Zach.
All right.